It's time once again on this Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin, a very good morning to you. Now, South Africa, you say, has been singled out as an ideal country in which to set up a carbon capture project to show the world how to combat climate change.
Yes, only 100 years ago, smokes blowing from a smokestack was seen as industrial progress. But today, there are tremendous efforts to halt that entry of CO2 emission into the atmosphere. And in Johannesburg this week, we had anybody who was anybody in coal. It was a big Pittsburgh coal conference, a virtual World Cup of coal. And during the address to that August conference, the head of energy at Anglo-American PLC, Roger Wicks, he put it to the developed countries that here was an opportunity for them to set up a carbon capture and storage test site in South Africa. He said there were too few of these in the world, and where they were in developed countries. Now there was a chance for a developed country to do this in a developing country like South Africa, where we burn a lot of coal, where there was an ideal opportunity to capture those emissions. And what they do is they not only capture them, but they then pipe them towards a geographical formation and inject them into an area where they cannot escape. So this is the idea, that they won't allow this emission to go into the atmosphere, that they will capture it before that happens and inject it into the ground. And sometimes that can be offset against other costs. And there was also talk of perhaps injecting it into coal fields where there was methane gas, so that that methane gas could be lifted higher, which would mean that it would be less costly to extract that energy.
On a similar theme, the World Bank, you say, is trying to put an end to gas flaring. It's a wasteful practice. It's prevalent in Nigeria. This is the burning of enormous quantities of good natural gas at a time of this acute global energy shortage.
Yes, many who have flown over Nigeria in the past, at nighttime, they have looked down and imagined that it was daytime, because there is so much flaring in Nigeria that it appeared to be daytime. And we've seen that our own Sasol has taken note of that wasteful gas flaring, and they've moved into Nigeria with a partner, Texaco Chevron, and they are wanting to take that gas that would be burnt wastefully. And they, in a few years now, will show how it can be turned to positive account. At Escravos in Nigeria, they are going to turn that into clean diesel. In fact, a diesel that people pay a premium for, because it is known as green diesel. It's got no sulfur in it. So that is an example of how valuable this gas can be if it's turned to positive account. And the World Bank has been setting up a campaign and partnerships to try and put an end to this gas flaring. Nigeria has been a big problem area, and I think there are four other countries in Africa that are in the top 20 gas flares. But the good news is that the Nigerian government has taken strong action. There have been court cases against companies that have been gas flaring, and they want to put an end to gas flaring by as soon as next year. In the meantime, satellite activity by the World Bank has indicated that Africa isn't the only culprit, and the big culprit that they now find is Russia, which is actually flaring even more of this gas than Africa, and I'm sure steps will be taken there.
And an important oil and gas discovery in Zambia.
Yes, Zambia, best known for copper. Copper has been the backbone of its economic development. A very upbeat Minister of Mines, Colombo Mwanza, has announced to the world now that they've actually discovered oil and gas in the northwest part of the country. This is a landlocked country. Therefore, if this is found in large quantities onshore, it is going to be a far more economic proposition. We see offshore gas exploration becoming more and more costly, people having to go deeper and deeper. He is now developing tenders to invite some of the petroleum majors in, so that they can see whether these wells are of an economic size and whether this can be turned to account. But in the meantime, Zambians are holding thumbs that they will have another big push in their economy by being able to prove that they've got large quantities of oil and gas.
Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, back at the coalface here on AM Live, same time next Friday.